Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Footbeer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, what's up, buddy?
Hey, James, what's going on? Going well? Doing well? Thank you for asking. It's another lovely Tuesday. You know what? Don't even. We're going to have to restart again just like before. No, we don't have to restart. It's cool. It's a Tuesday. We're having a good time. Going to be talking about week 11. I hope everybody's doing well out there, that they're gearing towards the playoffs. Hope you haven't been eliminated statistically and mathematically from your fantasy league, as some of us already have. But James, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I got Indy the dog behind me. He's squeaking on something. What are you squeaking on? I believe that is a turkey he's squeaking on. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that nobody who listens to this podcast consistently is capable of being eliminated from the playoffs. I'm pretty sure listening to this podcast confirms that you are not only going to make the playoffs, but you're going to win your championship. That's part of the bylaws of listening to our podcast, is you automatically win. So with that, I hope that you all are enjoying the winning that you're doing. And we are going to get you guys ready for week 3, or week 11. What is going on in my head? Week 3? But week 11. Wow, this is going
This
great.
Is a good start.
I know. All right, so there are two teams on bye this week, the Indianapolis Colts and the New Orleans Saints. So if you have Daniel Jones, the RB1, Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, who is a wide receiver one, Tyler Warren, who is up there for tight ends, or Chris Olave has been putting together a few good weeks here, Alvin Kamara, Juwan Johnson, or any number of those guys, you will need help. So Stu is going to start us off this week. Stu, take us to Thursday night.
Yes, Thursday night we get the always illustrious New York Jets now visiting New England to take on the Patriots, where they will get gobsmacked. It will be ugly, but honestly, I consider all Thursday night games to be pretty ugly. So let's go ahead and talk about the more exciting team in the Patriots. Drake May, of course, is an automatic start. Honestly, the Jets are just like start everything. Everything you can. The Drake Mays, the Stephon Diggs, start them both. It seems like the rumblings that I'm hearing is that Ramondre Stevenson could be out again for another week. Of course, this is a short week. You do have to pay attention to whether he will return from his toe injury. But Travion Henderson has been good. Really good. Really helpful. I'm really enjoying having him when Ramondre's out. And we just gotta, as Travion owners, we need to enjoy this, because I'm certain as soon as Stevenson is back from his toe injury that it will go back to what it was previously. So we'll enjoy this while we can. Kayshon Boutte, wide receiver, still nursing a hamstring injury. Short week again. Gonna have to pay attention to see if he is playing. But the Stephon Diggs you want in your lineup. The Pop Douglases, you probably want to leave in free agency, but you know, maybe you strike gold with his random blow up games. But for the most part, he's pretty low ceiling, or high ceiling, low floor. Hunter Henry, the tight end who's been a mediocre start for most of the season, is now trending in the wrong direction. If you have other tight end options, absolutely go ahead and start those. But if you need something, worse comes to worse, I could think of worse starts than the tight end who's going against the Jets. And speaking of those Jets, let's go ahead and talk about, you know, Justin Fields throwing like 40 yards passing in a game. Mm-hmm. Pretty good stuff. I want that in my starting lineup. No, you do not want Justin Fields. Garrett Wilson is now hurt again, same knee, and he's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks, so that's actually a decent player that you can't have anymore. The only person really worth their salt on the Jets is Breece Hall, that poor guy. He didn't end up getting traded, so you're going to want him in your lineups, but everything else is really, really gross, really, really disgusting. You know, Mason Taylor is someone you could start, but, I mean, with few targets, he's not going to do a whole lot for you. So I don't really want to be starting Mason Taylor there, James. You get to take us into some more interesting games. I think you got Dolphins and Commies.
All right. We are going to Barcelona, where the Miami Dolphins are 2.5-point favorites against the Washington Commanders. So it's kind of been the narrative that all games played in Europe are bad games, and that seems to have been consistent last week with Colts-Falcons. You know, not exactly a bad game, just a game where neither team played well. It wasn't like last night's Monday Night Football where it was both a bad game and neither team played well. But anyway, that's not this game. This game is the Commanders and the Dolphins. Starting off with the Commies, it's going to be Marcus Mariota again with the start. Jaden Daniels is out until mid-December at least. Marcus Mariota actually, and as far as like fantasy numbers go, didn't embarrass himself last week, but don't overthink it. Don't bother with Marcus Mariota. You're not getting anything out of him. The receivers, Deebo Samuel performed decently against Detroit. He got a touchdown. I still do not trust him. The target share, not that there's a whole lot of targets to go around that are being thrown accurately, has decreased a bit. I think he's good for a flex if you need one, but I really am not excited to start Deebo Samuel this week, even against a team like the Dolphins. And then there's Zach Ertz at tight end. I think he's probably someone who you can continue starting just with how depleted the tight end position remains. He's certainly not a safe start, but he is the tight end 10 right now. I think you can continue with him. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, not startable. He's really crossing into the territory of, do I even want to roster him? I think he's still rosterable at the moment, but I'm not really interested in playing him. And then you got, well, I mean, if you really wanted to look at somebody like Terry McLaurin, you shouldn't. Moving over to the Dolphins, Devon Achane and Jalen Waddle really remain the only guys you want to start on this team, with Devon Achane being the RB3 and having a great week last week, really making the most of his opportunities with the team that seems to be in a tailspin. And Jalen Waddle also making the most of his opportunities without really a consistent wide receiver across from him. And as you can hear, Indy is very excited about the Dolphins for some reason. Hey, Indy, you wanna stop squeaking that for the moment?
He just really hates the Bills, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. But anyway, don't bother with Tua. Don't bother with Malik Washington. Don't bother with any of their tight ends. Stu, take us to New York.
Yes, we've got the Green Bay Packers visiting the New York Giants. Fun news out of New York. If you hadn't heard already, their head coach, Brian Daboll, has been canned. So their offensive coordinator, I think his name's Kafka or something like that. Or is that a philosopher or an author? I don't know.
I think it's an author?
I think it's an author.
The one where the,
it's like Franz,
the guy
Kafka
turns into the bug?
Yeah.
Metamorphosis?
No, that's definitely a Baldur's Gate 3 reference. Oh, it's okay. Metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis.
We definitely play too much Baldur's Gate 3 there, James. Okay, so the visiting Green Bay Packers. We got some interesting things to talk about for them in counter to their Monday night performance last night, which was puke-worthy. We've got a very depleted wide receiver core. Romeo Dobbs ended up leaving Monday night's game with a chest injury. No guarantee whether he's going to make a play for Week 11. Matthew Golden was held out on Monday with his shoulder injury. Again, we've got to make sure that he's going to be playing, and even then, I don't think I want to be starting him. Tucker Kraft, of course, we've talked about him. He's on IR. Jaden Reed remains on IR. The most healthy wide receiver they have is Christian Watson, and he's garnering about 4 targets a game since his return from knee surgery. We also do have Dontavian Wicks, who doesn't like to catch the ball, even though his entire job is catching footballs. So, as such, no wide receivers do I really want to start in this game, and I also don't want to be starting Jordan Love. Even if I do think he's a fairly talented quarterback, it's just, it's going to be ugly until he gets his pass catchers back. So Josh Jacobs still is an automatic start. The offense has to run through someone. It's going to run through him. He got 21 carries against Philadelphia, so I expect more of the same against another NFC East opponent. For the Giants, one we have to keep an eye on is Jackson Dart, who was knocked out of the game against the Bears with a concussion, or he was in concussion protocol. I don't know if he was diagnosed with it, but he was held out of the fourth quarter of that game, was playing super well. He's got a great floor with his rushing ability, and he's just an exciting player, even if he's lost Cam Scadaboo and Malik Nabers for the season. I think if he is playing, which I somewhat doubt, I do want him in my lineups, but if he is out, of course, I'm not starting Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson is worse than puke at football at this point, and he needs to retire and just be gone. Pass catchers, Wandale Robinson and Theo Johnson and the other guy, what's his name, Slayton. None of them are super interesting to me, but if Jackson Dart plays, I don't mind Wandale Robinson as a PPR flex. He's got a great number of targets over the last month or so. And that's kind of where you make your bread and butter on a PPR flex in deeper leagues. For their running backs, it's been fairly split between Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary. 14 opportunities for Tracy to Singletary's 8. They're both scoring around the same. It's pretty mediocre. If you want to get Tyrone Tracy into an RB2 slot or a flex slot because you need it, you had JT on bye, maybe something like that, I wouldn't mind it, but we can leave Singletary on waiver wires or free agency, in my opinion there, James. Theo Johnson, he deserves a little bit of a shout-out if Jackson Dart is playing as well. He's been one of Dart's favorite targets and merits consideration for your tight end slot, of course, if the quarterback plays. I don't want any of these guys if Russell Wilson is throwing to them. Go ahead and take us to Bills Bucks.
Yes, sir. So the Buccaneers are traveling to Buffalo, where the Bills are 5.5-point favorites. I think that this has a chance to be a pretty good game. So if you want to take the points with the Bucks, I don't think that's a bad pick. But starting with the Buccaneers here, Baker Mayfield bounced back a little bit in terms of points against the Patriots. I like him again this week, despite going up against a good defense. Don't panic. Start Baker unless you have someone obviously better. As far as the running backs in Tampa go, Rashad White is going to be the starter with Bucky Irving doubtful again this week. Rashad White, I think, is a fine start. Moving to receivers, Amike Igbuka is coming off of another good week. Continue starting him. Hopefully he continues that kind of streak. And with all of the injuries that have been going on in Tampa, Tez Johnson had 20 last week as an interesting candidate to add to rosters or even make his way into an emergency flex spot. I'm still not falling over myself to give him a spot, but interesting, interesting name to look at there in Tez Johnson. And then there's Cade Otton, who's really been making the most of his increased role moving forward. I like Cade Otton a lot. I think he's going to work his way into a consistent starting spot at tight end as we get closer to the later weeks of the season. Moving over to Buffalo, Josh Allen remains an auto start. Even with a very ugly game against Miami last week, he still performed decently enough. Remains an auto start. Same with James Cook. Weird week last week. Don't overthink it. If you don't like him on his 10-point weeks, you don't deserve him at his 50-point weeks. So just keep him in your lineup. He's the RB7. Dalton Kincaid. He had a big game against... I like him again this week as the tight end 8. He had a little bit of a weird one last week. I think you can continue using him. And then for the receivers, we kind of saw the narrative flip this past week. Keon Coleman had a good week. He's still sitting as the wide receiver 44, and I still don't really think he's trustable. I'm not going to argue for you to pick him up if you dropped him. And then there's Khalil Shakir as wide receiver 29. His role is still increasing. I would continue flexing him, continue expecting kind of a middling ceiling out of him. Don't expect him to go off for 25 or higher. He's going to sit around 12 to 14 for you. That's what you want out of him. It's not exciting, but it's what you should probably get out of him. Stu, take us to the stadium formerly known as Heinz Field.
Well, yes, we get an interdivisional battle between the Bengals and the Steelers to talk about. Always a fun one. Cincinnati Bengals coming off of their bye. I think that team will be super easy to talk about. Chase, Higgins, Brown, all automatic starts. They have really been revived since Joe Flacco came to town. The real question is, who's got the stones to start Joe Flacco? Because he's been tearing it up for the last month or so, and I'd be willing to start him in the right circumstance. I don't have any of those circumstances around, but I could see him starting as a low quarterback one, excuse me, in a game that could very well potentially be a shootout. It just kind of depends on the Jekyll and Hyde Pittsburgh Steelers defense, which defense likes to show up on which day. On the flip side, the offensive people we need to consider for the Steelers, DK Metcalf has been Decoy Metcalf is very, you know, high and low at this point in the season. He's started off really, really hot, and he's been tapering off in production. Against the Cincinnati Bengals defense, still, though, I'm still starting him as a wide receiver, too, and I'm not going to feel too bad about it. Jaylen Warren continues to be a dependable and reasonable running back, too, for his own part. And we've got Aaron Rodgers, the illustrious, the aged Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to start him. I could see arguments to start him. It would have to be a pretty dire circumstance or a two-quarterback league for me to want to start him. But if you have even bigger stones than the person starting Joe Flacco, you can go ahead and throw Aaron Rodgers into your lineups. Not too much to talk about, honestly, with that one, James. I feel like I talked for like 30 seconds, but, you know, when it's easy, I guess it's pretty easy. There's not a whole lot on the Steelers that I'm super interested in. I don't know if you feel like this when we go through all these weeks and all these teams over and over and over. Are there teams that you just hate to talk about? Because it's the Steelers for me. I just don't want to talk about the Steelers. Do you feel that way or about a team in particular?
I absolutely feel that way. I don't like talking about the Patriots because of their running back situation that just constantly is, you know, annoying. The Commanders have been like that for me this year, and actually one of the teams I'm about to talk about is one of the teams that falls into that. I don't know if that's what you were teeing me up for, but it definitely hit it.
I don't know. It worked out.
It did.
Go for it, though.
So we're going to Nashville, where the Houston Texans are 7.5-point favorites over the lifeless husk of the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to say right now, I'll get your Titans out of the way right now. There's not a single person on that roster worth starting, and I'm even going to say there's probably not anybody worth really rostering. Tony Pollard is barely rosterable. Kamara Dike is probably on my scout team, but there's no one else I'm looking at. So just ignore them for the rest of the season. They don't exist. Going over to Houston, CJ Stroud is a good streaming candidate this week if he is healthy, which I believe he is on track to return. Davis Mills filled in well for him last week. The only problem for CJ Stroud here is the fact that the only real startable quarterback that's on bye is Daniel Jones. So there's not going to be many people who actually need a streaming quarterback this week. But if you do, I will vouch for CJ Stroud here. Nico Collins has had two straight good weeks. Should start as a high wide receiver too again this week. Probably regardless of who's throwing him the football. Like I said, Davis Mills filled in well. Woody Marks, he's building something. I said it last time I was the one who talked about Woody Marks, and Stu, I think you've been saying this as well. He's still not like somebody you're falling over yourself to start, but he's really only been building something against bad defenses. And Stu, true or false, the Titans are a bad defense?
Titans are a horrific defense.
So I think that means that maybe we give a look to Woody Marks this week. Maybe I wrote in my notes I would love him as a RB3. So if you need an RB3, if you need a flex, I don't know, take a look at Woody Marks. I don't mind him. Nick Chubb, he should have dropped weeks ago. Jaden Higgins had a solid 15.2 last week, if you're someone who is looking deep there. And Christian Kirk is a no. Dalton Schultz, though, sitting at the tight end 11, I like him this week. And Stu, that was very quick. Also, take us to Minnesota.
Yes, absolutely. We've got the Chicago Bears visiting the Minnesota Vikings. The Chicago Bears, always an exciting team. We've got to see Rome Odunze get to play. I don't know if you saw his post-game talk with the media there, James, where he thanks his dad for throwing a fit on X about his usage. Thought that was funny. Made me a little bit of a bigger fan of Rome Odunze. I'm totally happy with starting him. Totally happy with starting DeAndre Swift and /or Kyle Manungai. Both of them have been getting work. Manungai a little bit tapered off last week since DeAndre was a little more healthy, but still worthy of a look as a low RB4 sort of. Colston Loveland, I'm going to speak it into existence. He's a worthy streaming candidate for the tight end position this week, and that's just because I've got a waiver out for him right now. James, please don't take him from me.
I already had one out for him.
You're such a guy. You're such a guy.
You're such a guy.
Don't make me... Oh, my God. I'm going to start Hunter Henry, and I'm going to cry about it. Anyway.
You're my guy, Stu.
DJ Moore... Not really startable still. He had one blow-up week, but for the most part, his season has been pretty well lost, and I think he's playing his way out of Chicago, and that's just kind of what it is. Luther Burden did have 3 targets and 3 catches for a decent showing, but still a rookie, still very green, not worthy of consideration. Caleb Williams is a start, though, in a divisional matchup, but I'm a little tepid on it because... Kind of like the Steelers defense, the Minnesota defense can turn it on in certain situations. They just definitely didn't turn it on against the Ravens last week. On the flip side, we've got J.J. McCarthy, or he calls himself 9 or something like that on game days. He has a little alter ego for himself. I will be more interested in J.J. McCarthy when 9 puts up more than, like, 9 points. Aaron Jones... Yeah, but it doesn't really work because he did score more than 9 points, so I'm not really clever.
I think it's still
Aaron Jones is a sketchy RB2 play. He has been scoring, but he's not getting a high number of opportunities in games that they're behind frequently. Jordan Mason is still a bench target, or if you really need space, you can drop him. I'd still keep him on the bench myself. And then Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. I say this pretty much every time I talk about the Vikings. I don't really care if they have down weeks because of J.J. McCarthy. I'm still putting both of them in my lineups if I can. Hawkinson, however, no. not at this point there, James. Anything to say on these teams, or are you taking us to the Falcons and Panthers?
Let's head on down to Atlanta. I'm actually interested in this game largely because of what their last meeting was, where the Panthers blanked him 30-0. And I've talked a lot on this podcast about how confusing the Falcons are. Are they a good team? Are they one of the worst teams? Are they one of the best teams? I don't understand. And the Panthers are kind of confusing too, come to think of it. So what are we looking at here? Some very super cut and dry fantasy advice that no one can possibly disagree with. I'm confused by most of these people, but we do have takes. For the Panthers, who are 3.5-point underdogs in this, still don't start Bryce Young. He's a football player who plays the quarterback position. There are no startable quarterbacks for the Carolina Panthers for fantasy football. The big guy who you want, however, is going to be Rico Dowdle. He has gone a long way to proving me wrong when I said that the split backfield made both him and Chuba Hubbard irrelevant. Rico Dowdle has very clearly shown himself to be the better of the two running backs, which we already kind of knew, but the coaching staff is just, you know, actually acting on it, which there's several other of those coaches out there with split backfields who we would love to see them follow that lead. Rico Dowdle, decent RB2 this week, keep starting him. Chuba Hubbard is no longer relevant. Stu, true or false? Chuba Hubbard is a good handcuff.
I think Chuba Hubbard is an excellent handcuff. I mean, we already know exactly what can happen if he's given the full allotment of snaps. And while he's been outpaced by Rico Dowdle, he can absolutely be fantasy relevant at some point this year.
Mm-hmm. I think the overreaction in my mind almost wanted to say, go ahead and drop Chuba Hubbard because he is no longer relevant. But he is relevant as a handcuff. Moving to the wide receivers, really the only name you need to know is Tet McMillan. He's the wide receiver 21, and I'm looking at him as a decent flex this week. Again, a guy without a very high ceiling, but his floor is also high enough that he fits into that flex category as well. Don't bother with Hunter Renfro, Leggett, Coker. Not interested in any of them. Moving over to the Falcons, who I still don't know what they are. In Berlin last week, they had the Colts on the ropes and couldn't get the job done. That was, however, with some decent enough play from Bijan Robinson, and Drake London is up there with the best wide receivers in the league. Both of those guys are auto starts. Everybody else, however, there's a conversation to be had. Michael Penix, unrosterable. I don't know if there is a Kirk Cousins back there who is recuperated and able to play football, but I don't think there is. I would love to see what quarterback the Falcons draft in 2026. But Kyle Pitts, I actually like as a good stream this week. I just can't quit this guy. Everybody else is saying he's droppable. I just, something about Kyle Pitts makes me want to stream him this week. And that's not good podcasting to not have good data to back it up. That's just how I feel. But then there's Tyler Algier, who remains my favorite handcuff in the NFL. And he kind of paid off last week with two touchdowns, 11 touches out of nowhere. Like I said, I don't know when he's going to get those touches. I don't know when he's going to get his goal line opportunities, but he got them in Berlin. And if imagine what that's going to be if anything happens to Bijan Robinson. Nobody else is relevant. Darnell Mooney has made sure of that. He got 8 targets with 1 catch, including some of the most embarrassing clutch drops I've ever seen. If you own Darnell Mooney right now, you are a fool. And Stu, take us to Jacksonville.
Yeah, absolutely. We get the Jacksonville Jaguars playing host to the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are the much more fun team to talk about, so let's talk about it first. Justin Herbert is playing as a top-flight elite QB1. Had a somewhat down game against Pittsburgh, but this is a great opportunity against the Jacksonville defense that just let... let me check my notes here. Davis Mills be the QB1 last week. So, why don't we go ahead and start Justin Herbert. In succession, going down their depth chart, Ladd McConkey is a very strong start this week as a wide receiver 1. He is getting a lot of attention. He is scoring very, very well. And his early, you know, struggles in the early parts of the season have long since been forgotten. Quentin Johnson, I still think, is a reasonable low, you know, wide receiver 2, high wide receiver 3 sort of start. I think he finds the end zone this week. That's, again, just vibes. Great podcasting, but vibes. The guy that I think you can bench at this point is Keenan Allen. He's been struggling pretty badly for the last 3 weeks or so, kind of on the short end of the stick in the target game, especially with Aronde Gadsden coming to, you know, take the storm or be the storm. I don't know. He was playing really, really well. We do have to pay attention to Gadsden. He did come away with a quad bruise against Pittsburgh. So if he plays, I don't want to start Keenan Allen. But if Gadsden is sidelined for some reason, Allen may merit some level of look, but albeit an underwhelming one. Kamani Vidal is absolutely one that you want to be starting. Get him in your lineups. He's going to have a great game against Jacksonville because Jacksonville's defense is not very good. Well, is their offense very good, Dr. Stew, you ask? Well, dear listener, no. They're not. Trevor Lawrence is not startable. It was utterly hilarious that they lost against Houston last week. If I didn't hate Houston so much, I would be more excited about it, but I didn't want either of those teams to win. Brian Thomas Jr. was held out of the game with an ankle sprain. We do have to monitor his condition, but even when he starts this year, he's been a very underwhelming... Gosh, he's like a wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4 at this point, just based in scoring. I still think he's been hurt all season. Well, Dr. Stew, you asked, don't they have this really exciting rookie, Travis Hunter? No. Season-ending knee surgery. Just had it. He's out. Sorry for all you Week 7 Travis Hunter enjoyers. He's gone and not coming back. We do have Jacoby Myers, who merits some level of consideration, but with only 3 targets in his debut with Jacksonville after the trade from Las Vegas, I'm going to need to see it before I really want to trust and put him in my lineup. Travis Etienne Jr., though, is still a reasonable start as a running back, too. I think you can be fine with that. The one guy that was a bit of a waiver wire darling last week is Parker Washington. He had a good 7 targets in last week's game, only 3 at 33 yards receiving, but he did save the day with a touchdown, and he also had a return touchdown. I think it was on a punt. So there's some merit to that if your league scores that way, but I'm not ultimately super excited to be starting Parker Washington on a team that, if you haven't noticed, I don't really think very highly of. James, so
I did get that an inkling of that.
I am kind of bummed though, because the next game that you're talking about is one that I'm actually really excited for. So take us to the Rams Seahawks.
I think Seahawks Rams is probably the game of the week this week in my mind. You got an argument for Lions Eagles, which I'm also going to be breaking down later, but I think this one's really exciting. So the Seahawks are 2.5-point underdogs going into LA this weekend. I think this one could easily go either way. I think the Rams are probably, you know, right to be favored. But starting with the Seahawks this week, every week Sam Darnold is a situational streamer based on where you go. He could make the most of his opportunities. He could not. I think as far as streaming goes, this is not the week to get Darnold. But there are opportunities for his targets. Jackson Smith and Jigba is the wide receiver 1 and remains a must start basically forever. But then there's Cooper Kupp, who I would say is not someone I'm looking to get this week. Same with Torrey Horton, who I still think is interesting enough to stash. I could see his role increasing at some point, but we are getting to the end of the season, and you kind of know what you have by this point. Unless, of course, you're Rashid Shaheed, who entered the roster this week in that trade with New Orleans. He doesn't seem to be rosterable at this point. He did get a catch, but I don't think he's someone who you're going to be able to rely on at any point consistently. Not that you could in New Orleans either, but that's where he is. For the tight ends, A.J. Barner and Elijah Arroyo, there were points during the season where Barner was an on-again, off-again streaming start. And if you guessed correctly on the weeks where he was, good for you. But neither interest me this week. The probably most interesting conversation to have here is Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, as they kind of have always been this season. You never really know which one is going to have a good week, which one is going to disappear, and which ones are, well, if neither of them do. I think it's worth noting at this point that Kenneth Walker hasn't had double digits since week 4, at least in PPR formats. And despite being the RB27, all of his big production came in the first 4 weeks of the season. I think we can move on from Kenneth Walker. There's a good chance at some point during the season he becomes relevant again, but I'm really not going to waste my time waiting for him to get his act together. Zach Charbonnet, on the other hand, does get fewer touches, but is also a little bit more productive with them, and is also a bit more, I guess, I don't know if fluctuative is a word. He fluctuates a lot. I'm also never going to be excited to start Zach Charbonnet. I think neither of these guys are going to have the consistency that you need a guy to have. And if you can avoid starting either, I think that is a good way for you to live. Moving over to LA, the guys I'm going to talk about are fewer, but they are more impactful, I think. Starting with the quarterback, Matt Stafford, he has worked himself up to the QB6, which you would think is an auto start situation, and I think with the way he's been playing, he deserves that. However, if you've got Matt Stafford, you probably got him as a waiver pickup at some point during the season. Maybe you traded for him after someone else picked him up. So you might have somebody else who you like better this week. The Seahawks defense is a good defense, and Matt Stafford in his old age doesn't have a ton of rushing upside. He can scramble here and there, but he's generally going to try to avoid it with his health history. I would think twice about him this week. If you gotta start him, I wouldn't feel bad about it, but Matt Stafford's Matt Stafford. Both of his top targets are both in the auto start category at this point. Puka Nacua is a wide receiver 4, Devontae Adams is a wide receiver 7. Both of them seem to be healthy right now, so both of them start, and both of them will be peppered with targets, as will the RB9, Kyren Williams, who is also an auto start. All four of those guys are big names to have. You've probably been doing pretty well if you've got any of those four. However, I don't see anybody outside of those four who I am really interested in for LA. So, Stu, go ahead and take us to the rest of the NFC West with Arizona.
Yeah, back-to-back. We got the Niners visiting the Cardinals this week. The Niners actually had a pretty decent showing. Christian McCaffrey, honestly, it feels like he had a down game. With only 30 yards rushed, it feels like a down game, but just his work in the passing game. He's an auto start every single week that he's healthy, and just be happy that you have him. For the pass catchers for the 49ers, it was a resurgent game for George Kittle. That was amazing. I know last week I was really down on this, and I was really hoping that Brock Purdy would come back soon, but even with Mac Jones, George Kittle turned in a vintage performance. It was awesome to see. He's a great player. Love watching that dude play the game. He should be started at this point, because I kind of view the Cardinals just a little bit like the Jets, except somewhat more competent on offense. Maybe less like the Jets and more like a mediocre Cowboys, I guess. Just start everybody against the Cardinals, and then you can also start most, if not all, of the Cardinals, except for their running backs. And we'll get to that. Okay. Pass catchers beyond George Kittle, we got Juwan Jennings, 2 straight weeks with touchdowns. As long as Ricky Pearsall is out, I am perfectly comfortable starting Juwan on a weekly basis. Ricky Pearsall is set to practice on Wednesday, just saying, so keep an eye on that. I'm not really that concerned about it. I really think that they're trying to get Pearsall and Purdy as healthy as they can be before the playoffs, so I wouldn't expect to see either of them back this week. We did see a nice game out of Brian Robinson Jr. 8 opportunities for 41 yards, did score a touchdown. So that's kind of nice to see. He remains one of those handcuff options. This is the time of year that you should be handcuffing your stars. If you are a Christian McCaffrey owner, you do not want to be without the handcuff. Just in case CMC goes down, you're going to be left out with the bathwater. That's a saying, right? You get left out with the bathwater.
Throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's the
yeah. If Brian Robinson is our baby, I don't know. On the other side, we've got the Cardinals. Trey McBride has 5 touchdowns in 4 games, something like that. With Jacoby Brissett, go ahead and keep starting him if you weren't already doing it Marvin Harrison Jr. is an underwhelming start, but does have two touchdowns in consecutive weeks. He has garnered double-digit targets in consecutive weeks as well with quarterback Jacoby Brissett. So, last week we said that he is a reasonable streaming candidate, and he did just go up against a tough defense in Seattle. Going up against San Francisco, who is not of the same caliber, I still think he's of streaming quality. But kind of like what James said earlier, there's not too many people on bye. There's, you know, limited opportunities for Jacoby to really have a need and to fill a need. The running backs, I kind of talked about it, but, I mean, Amari DiMercato is doing the best with limited work, but we've still got Bam Knight in there. We've got Michael Carter in there. It's all just a hodgepodge of bad and yuck and suck. I don't want to start any of them. I personally wouldn't want to own any of them. So, pretty easy to talk about the Cardinals. James, why don't you take us to Browns-Ravens?
So, Stu, before I do, yeah. We've been seeing Marvin Harrison getting an uptick in targets. He had 10 in Week 9. He had 12 in Week 10, despite only bringing in 3 of those 12. But there has been a solid increase in his production as well. Are you worried that he might creep into the top 18?
I was looking through the bet stuff. I don't feel particularly worried. This is most likely going to be the one that breaks the camel's back, because I do think Bijan is better than Saquon, and I do think Shadur is not seeing the field this year, but it'll be this MHJ one. It could go either way, but I'm not particularly worried at this point. I mean, that's just kind of the vibe I get, but it's okay. I can give you fantasy footbeer merch. I'll survive that if I lose this prop bet or whatever it's called.
Well, either way, the next one that we're talking about is one that also has the bet involved. We're going Ravens-Browns in Cleveland, where the Ravens are 8.5-point favorites. So I would love to see nothing more than the Ravens just hit the gas and finally blow out a game that they're supposed to blow out and see Shitter start the fourth quarter or something. And then we just roll and I win our bets. But let's start actually breaking down the Ravens. Lamar Jackson is an auto start. Don't overthink it. I do want to talk about Derrick Henry, though. If you have not already passed your trade deadline, it's probably this week. And if not, then it's probably next week. Derrick Henry is a guy who I think that if you can deal him at the deadline, I think you probably should. Because it has seemed that whatever is going on in Baltimore, whether it's a play calling thing or a Lamar Jackson not having his head screwed on straight thing or coaching or whatever it is, Derrick Henry is not escaping it, but he is going to be useful to someone. So if you want to continue starting Derrick Henry, start Derrick Henry, but I like the idea of dealing him at the deadline to somebody who's desperate right now. He's a start this week, though. Moving over to Zay Flowers. He's the wide receiver 23. He has a pretty low ceiling, in my opinion. I think of him pretty similarly to the way I think of Tet McMillan. He's a guy who is probably going to have a decent floor and probably go no farther than that. He's a reliable flex, but he's not going to go much further. No other rosterable wide receivers there, not D-Hop, not Rashad Bateman. And Mark Andrews remains valuable when he scores, and he has been scoring. I think he's got 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. He's worth the stream if you need a streamer. I don't mind Mark Andrews this week. Moving over to the Browns, Quinshon Judkins remains an auto start. He's been weird of late since getting back from injury. Still remains somebody who you want to have in your lineup. Could struggle this week, but I think his upside outweighs the risk. No other running backs worth looking at. Despite what happened with Jerry Jeudy last week, I'm not really interested in any receivers either. Jerry Jeudy did have a good week. However, I think the only pass catchers who I think you would really consider would still be those tight ends. But I don't like the matchup this week. I'm not really interested in that either. And obviously you don't want to start Dylan Gabriel. So there's really not a whole lot to talk about with the Browns. So Stu, take us to Denver.
Yeah, exciting one as the Kansas City Chiefs come off of their bye and go into Denver for a showdown with their rivals. We get Patrick Mahomes back in our lineups. We get Rashee Rice back in our lineups. We get Travis Kelce back in our lineups. All of those locked and loaded. Easy peasy starts. Xavier Worthy, we probably want to find on the bench. We'll see how he comes out of the bye. You know, he's been nursing that shoulder pretty much all season. And then the running backs, Pacheco, Kareem Hunt. Yeah, I don't want to start Breshad Smith, but I also don't want to start the other guys either. If I wanted to play any of them, it would probably be Kareem, especially since Pacheco is still nursing an injury, but not very exciting starts for any of those guys there in Kansas City. On the flip side, we've got the Denver Broncos. Couple interesting storylines here, the first of which is just that Bo Nix seems to be holding this offense back. He's not playing super well, despite his good fantasy season-long statistics. I don't really want to be starting Bo Nix. If you could find most anyone else to play over him, I would support it. But, oh gosh, the Broncos are just annoying. I swear, it's like, if Bo Nix could just play within himself and just make some safer throws, target Cortland Sutton more, I would be very, very happy. Sutton, for his part, you want to start him, but honestly, I wouldn't fault you if you didn't. And then we've got Troy Franklin and Marvin Mims. Those guys, still, I would not be psyched to start either of those in a game that can possibly get away from Denver fairly quickly. One storyline to keep an eye on is J.K. Dobbins, who was dropped by a hip drop tackle in last week's game. He went and got a second opinion from a specialist on his foot, and it was reported today that he is a potential candidate to be placed on injured reserve. So if you have J.K. Dobbins, you need to be looking around for possible replacements this week. And if you have R.J. Harvey, get excited, because I'm sure that running back three, Tyler, is it Bidet? Beatty? I think it's Bidet, right? I don't know.
Like the toilet thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Bidet. I'm pretty sure he's going to get the lion's share of the work, just because that's just how fantasy works for me. I'm an R.J. Harvey owner, for you listeners out there, and while I don't wish injury on anybody, the least of which J.K. Dobbins, I'm fairly psyched about the incoming increased volume. So, Evan Ingram is technically someone I should talk about, but not technically someone we should be rostering in our fantasy lineups there, James. Moving on to, I think this is your last one, Eagles-Lions.
Yep. I'll take us to Sunday night for a pretty interesting NFC matchup here. Yeah, let's talk about the Lions first. They're a point and a half point underdogs going into the Link, where Jared Goff, currently the QB12, kind of like Sam Darnold, matchup dependent streamer. I'm not super sure about this one. But with the way that the Eagles have been playing recently, I wouldn't fault you if you did start him. Jahmyr Gibbs is coming off of a really solid week. He's the RB4, like I said last time I talked about him. Don't overthink it. He's Jahmyr Gibbs. He's going to be great. The same thing also remains true about how I'm thinking about David Montgomery, with his ceiling is too low for me to trust, even though he did have a solid week last week. The wide receivers, obviously Sun God is always startable. He's an auto start. But we got to talk about Jameson Williams. And Stu, you have a long history with Jameson Williams. My take here is that despite the fact that I believe he led the team in points outside of Jahmyr Gibbs this past week, my take is that he also isn't going to have enough consistency to start and barely enough to roster. Are you rostering Jameson Williams right now?
Yes, and if RJ Harvey is not a thing, I'm going to be playing him. I really am taking a more optimistic approach to the view of Jameson Williams, mostly because offensive play calling went to the head coach, whatever his name is, Dan Campbell, rather than what it was before. I mean, they gave Jameson Williams that extension, and then they just didn't use him. They used him as a downfield blocker for their running game. And now, as soon as Dan Campbell takes over, he's starting to get targets and looks and actually be productive. I think that's what they intended to do all the time. I just don't know what happened with the other guy. But I am a little more positive-leaning than it sounds like you are, James, in regards to Williams.
Yeah, I think it's very, you know, notable that once Dan Campbell takes over play calling, they score 44 points in a game and blow out the Commanders. So,
but that's also the Commanders, and they're like a dead fish.
True, but still, I think there's something to be said there. The last guy, last but not least, is Sam Laporta as a tight end 7. He remains a auto start for me. And my last team, going over to the Eagles. There's some confusing things to look at here. Not a great week this past week, but, you know, good enough to get the win. Jalen Hurts, I think, is still an auto start. Just the opportunity for him to score touchdowns in the tush push is something you can't overlook. Even if he, you know, fumbles a great first down run every once in a while, he's still somebody who I think that we can start confidently. Saquon Barkley kind of fits into the Derrick Henry narrative right now. Someone who you know should be doing better than they are, but something is pulling them back, whether it is play calling, scheme, whatever else. He's still Saquon, and you still see flashes of it. Just there's something happening here that we are not privy to. But still, you have to start them if you have them. The receivers, however, they started confusing. They remain confusing. But it seems like the receiver that you really want to have is flipped. It seems like Devontae Smith, who's had 3 straight good weeks, who I at one point advocated for potentially dropping, has gotten him back into my good graces and back into starting lineups, I think. I think he is, you know, maybe even a little better than a flex right now. I'm liking Devontae Smith. I'm liking the thought of starting him. And A.J. Brown's role is decreasing. He's down to the wide receiver 40. I don't know what is happening. I don't think anyone has any clue what has been happening all year. You know, we had the rumors of A.J. Brown potentially getting moved at the trade deadline. Those got shut down. And after the deadline, it appears that his role is not increasing. So I don't think you want a whole lot to do with A.J. Brown right now. I don't want to start him this week. Just everything about the Eagles is weird right now. The vibes are off. Dallas Goedert, I will still start, though. Stu, last game for us. Take us to Monday night.
Yeah, what a Monday night game this will be.
I hope it's better than last night's Monday night, but judging by the teams, I'm not sure it will be.
I mean, the over-under implies that we're going to have a good time. It's a 50.5 over-under with the Cowboys being 3.5-point road favorites going into Las Vegas. I don't even know what to make of this one. Of course, On the Raiders side, you want to be starting the people that are playing against the Cowboys. Gentee Bowers, automatic starts. Geno, you can leave on free agency. Trey Tucker merits some level of consideration, I do believe. I wouldn't mind it if you were super desperate, but at least he's one to, you know, keep your eye on as the week goes on. On the Cowboys side, you're starting your Javantes, you're starting your Fergusons, you're starting your Lambs, you're starting your Pickenses, you're starting your Aubreys. Perfect. Easy. 100%. It's not like Las Vegas is a stiff defense, and they're coming off their bye, the Cowboys are. So it should be, hopefully, that their offense is gelling. Hopefully everyone is a little rested up, a little more healthy, a little less banged up than they usually are. I don't know. I could talk about Dak. Dak is a worthy start, but I'm so influenced by my own decisions about my start sits on my own teams because I've got Dak sitting for Matt Stafford right now. So my brain is saying talk crap about Dak, but I think he's a perfectly fine start. I don't think you'd be disappointed. He just has a tendency to fall flat a couple times against defenses that he should do much better. And I'm looking at that week 9 performance against Arizona. He should have been a lot better in that game, and he just wasn't. So he's on my little crap list there, if I can be a little PG-13. But I don't really want to start him. You guys can start him and feel fine about it. That's it. That's week 11.
That's week 11. All right. Some good games, some not so good games.
A lot of divisional stuff.
Stu, we had to restart this one. There was some fumbling of words throughout it. I think it's time for us to get this Tuesday over with and have a beer or something.
Have a nightcap. Yes, absolutely. So I am actually drinking something tonight. So Joelle and I are in the midst of looking at houses and in preparation for moving. I am trying to drink through our stash so I don't have to carry it downstairs. So this week I am drinking from Waterloo Brewing in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. This is the Tart Cherry Radler. Radlers are nice. I like Radlers fine. They're very low alcohol by volume at 2.5%. It's very, very fruity, of course, as Radlers are wont to be. I like it fine. Yeah, I'm excited to drink it. What are you drinking tonight, James?
So, I am drinking one that in the first season of Fantasy Footbearer, I was drinking a lot because we lived right next to the brewery. This is still Kelsey's favorite beer, I believe. She's over on the other side of the room trying to make sure that Indy stops squeaking during the podcast, so she's nodding. This is the Daisy Cutter Pale Ale from Half Acre Brewing in Chicago. It is a 5.2 ABV pale ale, and I would describe this as if you ran into some aliens that were passing through, and they were like, what the heck's a pale ale? This is probably the beer that is most indicative in my mind of what a pale ale is. Not an IPA, a pale ale. So let's go ahead and crack these bad boys in 3, 2, 1. And Stu, my friend, week 11. Give us your closing thoughts.
Yeah, I've got Radler all over my desk. talk to us on social media. Have a good night, James. Take us home.
All right. I expected you to talk more, so I had a thing full of...
No, yeah, because I have literal, like, cherry juice all over my...
This has been an interesting episode, but hey, we got under an hour. All right.
Go us.
Yeah. With more games. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. We appreciate you giving us your ears and letting us go in your ears. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more great fantasy football content for you. Check us out on our socials. And for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Indian Dog, I am James Kemp. Good night and good talk.